This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Score Midday Show, 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
Can't see him escaping. I would say the top 12. I mean, I'm looking at Chicago and San Francisco being his absolute basement, and this would be a home run for Chicago. And I'll tell you what, this is the time of year where a guy like Mason Graham does start to fall a little bit, because you start to fall in love with the Shamar Stewart, top 1 percentile, the 40s. And, you know, this is a very pedestrian-looking guy. 6'3", 296, 32-inch arm, 78-inch wingspan. You know, he doesn't look like other guys. He looks like he's someone that would be going day three or even undrafted when you look at the profile. But you have to watch the tape. The tape rules all in evaluation. I think everything else is just about 20% of the process. But, you know, it happens every year. You know, coaches and GMs, they fall in love with upside and potential, almost sometimes too much. And Mason Graham, to me, is probably the surest double you're going to hit in the draft. I don't know if he'll hit Aaron Donald's home run caliber level, but he's not going to crash and burn. He's going to help the team win. Chicago would be blessed to get him on that defensive line.
That was a glowing recommendation of Mason Graham of Michigan from our friend David Siverston of Our Lads. They do a fantastic job. You can hear him a lot on the morning show on Mully and Haw. This is the Midday Show on The Score. Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, and Mark Grody in on this Thursday as we broadcast live from The Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. The reason we bring up Mason Graham is because I love the Bears YouTube channel, as everyone knows, and they dropped a new video a couple days ago of 1920 Football Drive. It was the latest episode. It is entitled Building the Trenches. I tell you that for a reason. That's piece of evidence number one. Piece of evidence number two. You just heard Mason Graham being discussed going into this segment. Piece of evidence number three. On this episode of 1920 Football Drive.
By the way, we have 72 pieces of evidence to get through. Continue.
Yeah, this is going to get real interesting. Yeah.
So this is Exhibit C we're working on right now.
Yes. You're about to
show's over
Exhibit
two.
C, piece of evidence number three, whatever way you want to count.
I watched a lot of Matlock growing up at my grandmother's house, so I'll go with Exhibit C.
Oh, that's
C.
Hilarious.
Exhibit
you watch some
C.
Golden Girls too, probably?
Of course.
Oh, the best.
But Golden Girls is actually... That's actually good television.
Like really good comedy.
Matlock is not.
Dorothy. Dorothy's the queen of everything, in my opinion.
Oh, you're a Dorothy person. Okay.
I also love Sophia.
Sicily.
Picture it.
The only one I don't like is the guy, Blanche.
1920, only because it's 1920 Football Drive. But picture it. Sicily. 1920.
Picture it. Hellas Hall. 1920 Football Drive. And then the Dorothy scoff.
Do you guys know that when you drive into Hallis Hall, there's actually a big Bears crossing sign when you go like in the little backwoods area before you get to DC?
Warning you about Bears.
Yeah. It's pretty funny.
That's
a big
adorable.
Yellow bear. Oh, it is adorable. It is.
I like silly jokes like that. Like just dad jokes and just basic jokes.
But it's like a real, the sign looks real and it's a badass bear.
I will take this opportunity to say that bears themselves are not adorable. They are scary killers.
But they're cute and it's really conflicting.
They are scary killers. Like, just like the Bears and the Bears too.
Just
both
like
killers.
Me falling
this ain't
in
Winnie
love
the
with
Pooh.
Just like like me falling in love with potential rather than actual performance.
This ain't Berenstain. This is not Baloo on Tailspin. This is none of those things.
Berenstain Bears can be pretty judgmental. That's another topic for another day.
That is true as well.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're Berenstain Bears.
Hey, stop trying to F. Lee Bailey my argument here.
Bears.
So, Exhibit C was what I mentioned earlier. But also, it was an episode of 1920 Football Drive. And there is a conversation on it between Ryan Poles and Dennis Allen. And they're evaluating. They're doing, like, the front office, like, evaluating things. And the phrase that Dennis Allen says is, "Where do we have him?" Which you can't hear really well. Studs did his best to analysis and zoom in and try to enhance the tape just like CSI. So let's take a listen.
Where do we have him?
High.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this year, probably one or two.
Yeah.
Did you say hot?
Where do we
high?
Have him? And he says in this year, one or two. But they tried to erase it or reflect it in a way where you couldn't see that Stacey Dales on the TV image in the upper right corner was talking to Mason Graham. All you saw in the TV image in the upper right corner was Stacey Dales. But they missed the reflection.
Dun, 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 dun.
They missed the reflection.
Not the
and in the reflection
order.
Was Stacey Dales talking to Mason Graham. So I ask you, was where do we have him talking about Mason Graham? And do we find out how the Bears feel about him? I rest my case.
I hate to be that guy because now it's your witness. Listen, they were at the combine in this video that we're talking about, and combine activities were going on down in the field. Therefore, interviews were also going on down and around the field. And that's when Stacey Dales just happened to be talking to Mason Graham, in my opinion, after watching this evidence. Yes, I'm using air quotes for those of you not on Twitch.
As one of the senators from the South Loop here, I would like to concede my time. I would like to concede my time to one of our producers over here, Mr. Adam Studzinski. You know why?
Because he deserves Adam Studzinski for the record.
Studs deserves some time on this because he has been pitching this for 48 hours. What say you, Studzy?
As the senator from the Northwest side,
I think we're combining the Senate procedure with a trial, but I'm into it.
It's a congressional hearing at this point.
Okay.
It's all the same.
Come on.
Yes, Mr. Studzinski.
I say that Marshall, yes, the simplest explanation is probably that they're just talking about a random player, and Mason Graham happens to be in the background.
You ruined this, Marshall.
I have a counter argument. Continue, Adam.
I would say,
Bear,
I like to think they're talking about Mason Graham, and I'm choosing to believe that in my head.
I will argue with this. As a woman, I have noticed that men talk about the things that are in front of them.
We're visual people, Layla.
I rest my case again.
That is actually fair. That's a visual. Fair argument.
Yes.
Like, if it's in front of a dude, he's talking about it or thinking about it.
You're right.
You know, it's like see ball, hit ball, if you will.
Yeah, and that might not be that simple.
If you
but
see
you're
something,
in the right
say something, right, Layla?
See something, say
something.
Say something,
Layla.
See something, say. It's something my friends and I often talk about anytime we're like watching a game at a sports bar or whatever, and some people come in and see something, say something.
See, always works.
As a Hall of Fame wingman, I often say to my friends, see something, say something.
If I got
you need
your back.
My assistance, my help, just let me know. I will do the thing that I do so well. But also, to counter your argument, yes, you're right. They do talk about what's right in front of them. If you'll notice on the video, and I encourage everyone to go to this Building the Trenches episode of 1920 Football
and
Drive.
It's called Building the Trenches,
I got
people.
You. Understand that when it happens, the laptop in front of Ryan Poles is open, so he's probably talking about what he's looking at in front of him.
Do women have people that help them to...
Yes, they're called professional matchmakers. You have to pay them lots of money.
I have been approached by a matchmaker
I was once on a roster for a professional matchmaker, and they still to this day, even though I told them I don't live there anymore, send me women and ask if I'd be interested in... in connecting with
that's
them.
You're
awesome.
A hot product, Marshall. That's
yeah,
what
that's
it is.
Kind of
I'm
awesome.
Not a hot product.
I mean, you are.
No, listen. The dearth of quality men on this planet is shrinking and shrinking and shrinking.
Yeah.
As someone who
The dearth is increasing. The amount of quality men is shrinking.
What about the girth?
That's what I meant. Sorry.
Along with other things.
But the girth. Whoa, whoa, whoa. No shrinkage here. All right, listen.
Go get him, man.
What I'm saying.
Best trial ever.
What I'm saying is, because this exists, the matchmaking service, and there's a declining availability of men that most women would say is satisfactory. The fact that I went to college, have a job,
and you're over 5'10".
Listen to people.
I'm over 5'10".
I mean, that's a big deal. It seems like it is on those apps.
Yeah. I wouldn't be complaining about a man spreading into my seat if he's 5'10".
Yeah,
go get it.
Takes all kinds.
That's another issue.
My ex-husband's 5'9".
But also, no kids, no alimony because I've never been married, and no jail time served. I'm clean.
That's such a great point.
Yeah, you've actually in those statements just eliminated, and you know, I date all heights. But that just eliminates a considerable portion of the dating
pool. Do you hear that, Short Kings? She dates all heights.
That's good. I mean, I feel like one of the qualifications, it seems like so many times on the apps for women, is you got to be tall.
Okay, right? I got
to
say
you're distracting
this
right now because I want to get back to the laptop.
Actually, first of all, talent evaluation, which is what we were doing right now, which is very similar to what the Bears front office was.
That's fair.
About height. Here's the issue. Just don't lie. If you are 5'9", then say you're 5'9". Authenticity matters more than lying.
But if they said 5'9", they wouldn't even get to the point where you're...
And if that person only cares about your height, then guess what, friends?
But that's most women.
That's not the person for you.
But that's most women.
But you don't want that person then.
But that's most women.
Superficial.
Most women will tell you they care about height until they actually meet a guy who is less than their quote-unquote ideal height, and they realize he has other good characteristics.
Yeah,
but that's
what
they lead with.
I think you're also telling me how women are, and I'm the woman. I'm not telling you how men are.
I'm telling you how. No, this is the perfect example because you are a woman.
So you're going to tell me how I am?
No, I'm telling you how general women are because I've dealt with more women than you have as far as romantic relationships.
I don't have women friends.
No. Yeah, I'm sure you do.
We don't talk about it.
You've not dated a woman, though.
Yeah, you haven't dated a woman.
I've dated
many, many women.
Yeah.
There are people who think that just because I don't have any men in pics on my Instagram, but why would I, a single woman, have pics with a bunch of men on my Instagram?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, the older you get, the more gay you get.
Well, why
I
do
think
men
that's
have,
what it is.
Why
that's,
do men have pictures of fish on there
just,
or whatever?
I'm just trying to speak for myself.
What is happening?
And I'm saying I'm a woman. I date men. That's my orientation, and I don't care about height. I do care about lying, and that's how my friends are. So you can say your experiences with women you have dated, but I'm saying for me, that's the case.
No,
I don't think you can tell me how. I'm not going to tell you how men are. I'm going to tell you my personal experience.
No, you can tell me how men are, and I'll be like, that sounds about right.
We can be real about this.
Yeah, we can be real.
But my point is, like, authenticity matters more than... The lying is a bigger concern than not lying.
You know what the bottom line is, Marshall? What I have found is that women are a lot less shallow than men. It's just true.
We're visually stimulated. Go back to what we started with.
We're in front of you. We see what's in front of us. Yeah, so we just stare at it, and then it's over, and then on to the next.
Okay.
Wow. I didn't say all that. Grody's taking us down a different path.
So I'm just going to... I'm not here to like...
Put the laptop.
I'm not here to speak to... I'm not here to speak to anybody's orientation. I'm saying my orientation is I date men.
I know. I want to make it very clear here. When I made that comment, I'm saying as a man, I am a middle-aged man.
You're quite young, man.
I'm a single man. So as you get older, people are like, oh, what's going on there? Is Grody like, is he like men? What's going on? Like, that's just the way it goes.
Also, does care about height is Ryan Poles. Like, he does care about arm length and height and stuff like that.
We all care about. Well, ask Will Campbell about that.
Does he care about arm length?
No, he does, because Braxton Jones is in the 90th percentile in arm length.
Oh, no, that's why, like, if you want to get into it, that's why he fell in love with Braxton Jones. That's why... I'll never forget.
Who's the one judging now?
Hey.
Play the Law and Order. Play the Law and Order.
Da, 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 da.
I rest my case for the third time.
The laptop.
I don't think that's how
it
that
was
works.
His laptop was open. He wasn't talking about Stacey Dale's interviewing someone on the screen in the background. He was looking at the screen in front of him.
I don't know. Dennis Allen doesn't look at offensive players like that. Did you see the look in his eye?
Maybe the player that was on the laptop was also a defensive player.
Maybe it was Mason
Graham. Oh, yeah. We were talking about Mason Graham, weren't we? At some maybe point it was in time.
I never stopped talking about Mason Graham.
No,
I
you can didn't. Go on
a little bit. Layla's fault, by the way.
We're,
alley and
we're
come back.
The worst front office ever. Like, we're not drafting anybody.
Oh, no.
We're on the clock and we're like, Bears.
Let me tell you about Miles Mozzulas.
We need you to actually pick somebody in the Bears. Draft. Yes, our pick is Bears. And then the draft is over.
We probably
and then the next
well
thing you know,
combine.
We have no picks.
We probably would not do well at the combine because we're supposed to separate and go. You check out that, and I'll check out this. We'll reconvene. Yeah,
I'm definitely getting
I'd
distracted.
Get distracted. I'd get distracted.
Do you guys want to go to the combine with me next year?
Can we do that?
That would be awesome. I would love to have you guys at the combine.
I would like to be at the
if
combine.
We're going to the combine. Never know. I mean, it depends where the Bears
are drafting. It's a short trip.
It is a short
it's
trip.
It's a driving trip,
but
right?
But there's hotels and you know, there's things and hotels. Food. I always get dinged for the food.
Okay,
you know?
The other piece of this, I don't think we have time to play, but we should revisit it. It's Mike Vrabel. I don't think we have time.
Vrabes.
But it's him talking about what he wants out of his team. Yeah, we don't have time.
Do we have time? We have time? Yes. Yes, yes.
All right, so let's listen to what Vrabel had to say to his team when it came to the rules in New England.
Good. One is to respect the team, okay? Respect the football team and the people that are here, okay? The second one is, okay, I'd like you to have, when we're in a meeting, okay, I know what the style may be. Just pull your hood down in a meeting. That's all I ask, okay? I just ask that when we're in a meeting, okay, that we just pull our hoods down and we go from there. Be on time. Okay, we just talked about time. Be on time. And if I can't be on time, Christian, what's the easiest thing to do? You would just call, right? That's called communicate. Okay, all you got to do is say, hey, something came up. Okay, I'm going to be a little bit late. Now, after about four or five times, that starts wearing off. Okay, this is just a once in a while. All it is a respect thing. Okay, and the cell phones. Okay, we all got cell phones. Okay, most of you have more than one, as a matter of fact. Just leave the cell phone in your bag, but just put the phone away. Okay, and if it rings, don't start coughing. Like, I've been in this league for 25 years.
Really?
We all know when a cell phone goes off. We don't need to start coughing and doing that. We'll just turn it on and put it on silent, and we'll move on. Leave it in your bag. The cell phone's in the weight room. Okay, leave it on the counter or leave it in your locker. Okay, you don't need to do a set and then check your cell phone. Do a set and check your cell phone. Just leave the cell phones out of the locker room. The goals for our program, the overriding goals for that program that we're going to build, is going to be one, to win the division. Okay, when was the last time the New England Patriots won the division? Does anybody know? 2019, right? And we have one player, Joe Cardona, that's one person. So we're building our own identity. We're building our own team. We're building our own program.
Okay, let's start.
Two cell phones? You knew. If you know, you know.
Let me tell you something. Some people have to have two cell phones because you have a work with the encrypted stuff. All this. Football players are not part of that group. So if you have two cell phones, tell me why they would have two cell phones.
Side girl.
I can't use the terms on the air.
Why would they have two
side
cell
chick.
Phones? Side chick?
Is that where you were
is
going
this
with
like
this?
Us having the side team of Bears
are we,
2?
Are we going to...
What if you play for Bears 1 and Bears 2 at the same time?
That's impossible. They're totally separate entities, Layla. You know it.
Why are we discriminating as people who wear their hoods up because they maybe are bald and need warmth?
So Vrabel told the team, do not have your hoodie on, so your hood on your head during team meetings. I think that's a little nitpicky.
I think it's ridiculous.
Like, I understand no cell phones in team meetings. I understand no cell phones in the weight room. That's hilarious, by the way. Just do a set and then check your phone every
That's what people
time.
Do at the real gym, yeah. Us civilians do that.
The Patriots can't have any gym influencers in their space. I don't know. I had a good laugh about all of that. But maybe that's just me. Grody, you're giggling over
this.
Well,
I'm actually trying
something.
To be very quiet because they just said to go to break. So and last time he said that, I talk. So I'm trying to be really quiet right now.
All right.
I'm sorry. I ruined it.
We're still on the window. You're good.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. Last time I felt like I screwed it up. So I was just being good.
You are
being good.
Yeah, I was
and
just like, I'm just going to shut up.
No!
But we are going from...
Put him in the hole!
We're going from a fake trial to real legal matters.
Right.
Something big happened over the last couple of days, and it's a story that we followed a lot on this show. Northwestern, there has been movement when it comes to reporting on the hazing lawsuits that have happened. So to get some information on it and find out the latest and really learn the logistics, Adam Rittenberg, who has been following this story for over a year on from ESPN joins us next to just tell us what's going on. That's next on The Score.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
I recently found out that you can see a personal dietitian covered by insurance. There's this platform called Nourish that will match you with a dietitian based on whatever your concerns are, whether that's weight loss, eating disorders, autoimmune conditions, or something else. They're actually a network with major insurance providers, so most patients pay $0 out of pocket. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Score Midday Show, 10-2 on 670 The Score.
We go out to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline where you can download the Circa app today. And that is where Adam Rittenberg, reporter for ESPN, who has been covering the Northwestern hazing story for over a year, has been giving us updates, staying on track of the story, and telling us the latest in what I think is a very complicated, legally and information-wise, story to keep track of. And he joins us now on that Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Adam, thanks for joining us. Let's just start with what we know facts-wise. Northwestern, as you reported, finalizing settlements with former athletes who filed hazing-related lawsuits against the university and former coach Pat Fitzgerald. Logistically, can you just bring us up to speed?
Right, Layla. So there's a couple of layers to this, and obviously Northwestern's a defendant in all of those lawsuits that were filed by the former athletes, as is Pat Fitzgerald. It's also a defendant against Pat Fitzgerald in the wrongful termination lawsuit that he filed for $130 million. So as far as the athletes, as expected, they have neared a settlement with those dozens of lawsuits alleging hazing and mistreatment that were filed mostly towards the end of 2023 and into 2024. But as stated very clearly by the attorneys for former coach Pat Fitzgerald, that claim is still very much ongoing and now has a trial date in November. And Northwestern basically filed a motion last week to push back that trial date, you know, citing the fact they were still dealing with these lawsuits from the athletes, the number of depositions that are involved. They outlined how many they have done and how many they still will need to do and said, hey, we want to push this into 2026. That motion was denied. We know that Pat Fitzgerald's side would like to get this resolved so that he can begin coaching again, presumably in college football or maybe in the NFL. But now that trial date, you know, unless there is a settlement in that case, which is still possible, is set for early November. So now the athlete cases seem to be close to being resolved. They will be called as witnesses if Fitz's case goes to trial. But now the focus is on that case and preparing for it.
And so Pat Fitzgerald is part of two separate issues here. One is Pat Fitzgerald, the defendant, just to clarify, and one is Pat Fitzgerald, the plaintiff, correct?
Correct, although the damages on the lawsuits from the athletes or settlements, rather, would not be on his shoulders. You know, as an employee at the time, he would be represented by Northwestern and their attorneys, and he would not be responsible, at least to my knowledge, for any settlement that would be paid out to the former athletes. So in that sense, he's clear of those cases, but certainly wants to pursue his case and get what he believes is the money that's due him from his remaining compensation from the contract he had with Northwestern, as well as reputational damages, punitive damages, so to speak, which adds up to $130 million, which is the lawsuit he filed back in October of 2023.
So, Adam, correct me if I'm wrong, but so far it's looking like it's coming out very bad for the university, but so far so good for Pat Fitzgerald.
Well, you know, again, the university took a position, Marshall, very early on that hazing occurred and that it wanted to do everything it could to, you know, rid itself of any of those types of actions that were occurring in the program. And so reaching a settlement with the athletes is not a big surprise because they had never challenged the claims that these things occurred. And in a sense, it may not be good for Fitzgerald's side if the university is successful in proving that maybe he did know of things that were going on in the program, and it has a lot of witnesses that it plans to call in its defense against his claim. Now, what was very clear from Dan Webb and Matthew Carter, the two attorneys representing Pat Fitzgerald, is that no evidence has come out that he did know about these things, and that the investigation that Northwestern did in the early part of 2023 that resulted in basically the acknowledgement of hazing, but only a 2-week suspension for Pat Fitzgerald. What they're saying is that nothing has changed. And so it's still on Northwestern to essentially make a case for why they fired Fitzgerald for cause and don't want to pay him his remaining money based on things that they've collected since as part of their preparation for the athletes' trial. So it's a very complicated situation, but ultimately Fitzgerald's point is, you guys fired me based on no new evidence, and you owe me my money, plus obviously the reputational damage that was caused by that firing.
It's so interesting, man, because I'm looking at one of the quotes in your piece here, Adam, and that is, this is from, you mentioned Dan Webb, and they're saying that hazing didn't occur. Obviously, Northwestern is saying it did. Quoting your piece here, quote, Coach Fitzgerald has proven himself a staunch advocate of student well-being, including consistent emphasizing a zero tolerance policy on hazing. Webb and Carter's statement reads, quote, he implemented and maintained some of the strongest anti-hazing programs and policies in collegiate sports. And again, this is your piece, Adam, and that is Dan Webb's quote. What do you make of that? Because that was new to me, that not only was there not hazing, allegedly, from their side, they're anti-hazing. That's interesting.
Right. And, you know, again, Pat Fitzgerald's reputation is very much in line with that quote until this occurred. And so what they're saying is that he was on top of this as much as you could be as a coach. You don't see everything that goes on. A football organization has, you know, more than 100 athletes and many others that are kind of involved on the periphery. You know, he did what he could to prevent hazing and made it very clear in their eyes what would happen if there was hazing in his program. I guess the flip side of that is you've had dozens and dozens of athletes who say that there was hazing and have some specifics in their eyes of when it occurred. And in certainly the case of the initial whistleblower who came forward, there were some very strong accusations made that Fitzgerald did know what was going on. And so it's hard to know, you know, fully who to believe, but the one thing that certainly favors Pat Fitzgerald in this is that the university did conduct its own investigation and did not find direct evidence that he was aware of these acts that were occurring in inside the program. So you can say this was happening and that he should have known about it, but your own investigation did not find evidence that he did know, and you did agree to that initial suspension of 2 weeks, which would have occurred in the summer, really when nothing is happening, not any sort of impactful type of suspension. And then 3 days later, amid all the media attention and all the details that were coming out, President Michael Shull opted to fire Pat Fitzgerald.
We're talking to ESPN reporter Adam Rittenberg, who has been following the Northwestern hazing story, which is now reaching some conclusions in court, or that we know could be for part of this case involved. And I think one thing to point out, too, is you talk about, for example, Adam, the details surrounding the Northwestern conducted an investigation. Part of that was hidden because it's a private university. They don't have to disclose what went on behind closed doors if it doesn't want to. And it's in their best interests not to. So since this has come to court, since there has been deposition, since there has been other things on the record now, what have you gathered in learning about this that maybe wasn't said before based on the information being closed off the way it was from the university?
Well, I think you just follow what some of the athletes who filed lawsuits against Northwestern and Fitzgerald said publicly in the weeks and months after this all went down in the summer of 2023. I mean, they outlined numerous things. Now, they weren't interviewed by that original investigator in many cases. And so, Northwestern outlines in the legal filing last week that it has done a number of depositions, that there's, I think, 81 people, it was told, that have some type of relevant information, and that if this does go to trial, it will call up to 40 student athlete witnesses to defend its side that there was widespread hazing. So it's a very awkward position to be in. And you bring up the idea of a private school that can essentially keep a lot of its dirty laundry under wraps. If you go to trial and there's a discovery a portion where this all comes out, it all comes out for Northwestern, it all comes out for Pat Fitzgerald, and typically when it comes down to it, you don't see a major institution or a coach in his position wanting it to get to that point. And that's why the judge in this case has encouraged strongly the sides to settle. We could still get a settlement, but as we sit here today on April 10th, a few months away, about 6 months away from this potential trial, that is not where these sides are at the moment. And so do they really want to go through with this? A coach who has been at that school for not just a couple of years, but a couple of decades, that's a lot of material to have out in the open in a trial setting for both sides. And I think that's what it's really going to come down to if both are willing to go through with it.
Adam, it seems like it would behoove both sides to do some type of settlement. Now, the argument might be for Pat Fitzgerald, if he wants to coach again, he can come out clean if he can win the case, right? Where he gets his money plus his damages, and now he's free to coach. But if it could also go badly for him, as you said, both sides. I'm just trying to navigate, I guess, in my mind, what's the best outcome for both parties involved, since it looks like both are going to get dirty if this thing goes to trial.
Well, right. Again, Northwestern's admitted hazing occurred in the program. And so, he can, certainly Fitzgerald can prove that he didn't know about this or that his assistants didn't know about this. But there certainly are going to be people, former athletes, that take the stand that say this happened and this is where it happened and these people were there and this is how often it happened. And then you can certainly choose to believe that, whether you're the judge or the public or a potential employer. And so that's a difficult position to be in. I think there's
you know, everybody's got a number. Obviously, he's owed a lot of money on his remaining compensation, which I think is going to be difficult for Northwestern to get around, potentially. I'm not a legal expert. It's obviously a lot harder to claim and receive punitive damages. And that's probably the harder part of that $130 million. But we're talking about a lot of money here. And maybe there's an amount that works for both sides that allows them to move forward. Northwestern putting this behind it as much as it can. And then Fitzgerald then being able to coach again, because he's been out of coaching now for essentially three cycles, three hiring cycles where he's not part of college football. I'm sure that that's something he would like to bring to an end.
Adam, just to wrap this up, is there anything that you would like to add that maybe we didn't ask that is important for people consuming this information to know?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, we covered a lot of it. I mean, it is an unusual situation where Fitzgerald's a defendant, obviously, in the cases from the former athletes, but is very much the plaintiff now. And Northwestern almost has to make the case that the athletes were trying to make, if those cases had gone to trial, in the trial that Fitzgerald would have if that does actually go and occur. So it's just a very unfortunate situation all around for the all-time winningest coach in program history, one of the more beloved figures in Northwestern University history, not just athletic history, that this is how this is the point it has reached. But that's obviously what happened given the summer of 2023, and we'll now we wait and see if they reach a settlement, or on November 3rd this thing goes to trial, and it certainly will be a very, very detailed process if that comes to pass.
That's ESPN reporter Adam Rittenberg doing a lot of work to help sort out this information regarding the Northwestern hazing stories and give us the very latest. Thank you, Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, guys.
Adam Rittenberg joining us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. I find that in those cases, it's best to hear just what all we need to be consuming and how. Coming up, it's high noon, and Groats, you had something you wanted to submit for the class.
I have a sequel that we need to discuss, a sequel to a very, 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 I'm going to go for very popular movie.
Hopefully it's
good. Which has actually had a sequel, but now it will be what? 10 years later? Now,
please don't say Anchorman
2. Is there a fraction involved in the title? Because one of the sequels has a fraction involved.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, you're right about that. I'm actually not sure what they're calling it, but I will. Okay. I'll bring up that Wikipedia and we'll find out about
it. It doesn't sound like it's Anchorman 2, so we're
here. It's not. I will give you that. It's not Anchorman 2.
Stay with us. You've got the score.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
It is high noon. We have done it every day at about this time. Mark Grody joining us on this Thursday. We are happy to have him. And it has been a typical Grody coaster, I feel like. We talked about having fun at the Bulls game.
Bears.
What the Bulls are really shooting for, puns intended. Shota Imanaga's performance. Also, what that means for Justin Steele and the team and the like. We did a very confusing film study. 1920 football drive and Mike Vrabel talking to his team about meetings, and then just got the latest information when it came to the Northwestern hazing case. What was the latest? Adam Rittenberg from ESPN was on to help us just sort out info and find out what's next. So a thanks to him as well. Okay, go Grody. Sorry about that.
It's okay. I am going to read this right from Wikipedia, and I give that disclaimer because it will be Wikipedia language, but I like it like this because this is new. The Naked Gun is an upcoming American action comedy film directed by Akiva Schaffer, who co-wrote it with Dan Greger and Doug Mand. It serves as a standalone sequel to Naked Gun 33 and a Third, The Final Insult. Well, that was 1994. And the fourth film in the Naked Gun franchise. The film stars Liam Neeson as our guy, Frank Drebin Jr., alongside Pamela Anderson, Paul Walter Hauser, CCH Pounder, Kevin Durant.
What?
The Pounder is out. Not the Palatine Pounder, who fell down yesterday.
Poor Mike Talkman.
Oh, poor Mike Talkman. Poor Mike Tauchman.
Poor White Sox. Poor White Sox fans.
That's 145. That's 145.
I think we just did the segment. Cody Rhodes. We need something else for that segment, Ray. Cody Rhodes. Liza Koshy. Enough of
that. Wait, Cody Rhodes the wrestler?
I'm like, how many people are you reading?
Yeah, I know. I should stop. There is a...
Yeah, actually, that's a good point.
Here's the last sentence. The Naked Gun is scheduled to be released by Paramount Pictures in the United States August 1st, 2025. We have a trailer!
Who are you?
Frank Drebin, Police Squad. The new version.
That's the sound of the police!
Hi, Daddy. It's me, Frank Jr. Love you.
Hey, Dad. Boy, do I miss you.
Oh, yes! The Naked Gun is back! The greatest slapstick comedy of all time.
And what I want people to know about that trailer is you heard him acknowledging his dad. He's looking at a picture of his dad
Leslie
on the
Nielsen.
Wall. Yeah, Leslie Nielsen, who passed away back in 2010, I want to say.
Huh.
And then we have another character looking at his dad. And then a third character where it kind of goes silent. A guy's looking up at a picture of O.J. Simpson on the wall, and he just looks directly into the camera and just shakes his head like, I'm not thanking him. No.
What was O.J.'s character's name on that?
Let me go look.
Yeah.
Let me go.
Do you think anybody ever actually knew the name of O.J.'s character?
No. Movies? When you hear it, it will sound familiar. Once we get this up and running, it will be familiar.
I thought the
Nordberg.
Naked Gun was...
Nordberg!
Yeah,
yes!
Just Nordberg. One word,
see?
Nordberg.
Yeah.
I thought those movies were hilarious when I was a little kid.
Of course.
Unfortunately,
you did.
Dumb and Dumber in those movies pretty much shaped my sense of humor along with The Simpsons. Like, those were the archetypes. But the Liam Neeson one, that's an interesting hook because I think he did about 12 Taken movies. Like, I'm not sure what was left to take after all of it was done. Perhaps his serious movie role. So I love that he's switching gears here.
So my favorite thing about that is that he's never been the star of a comedy movie. He's been in small comedic roles. He was in Ted 2, but he's never been the star of it. And so this is him testing out his comedy chops.
It's wild, man. His career is fun because he did all the serious stuff. Like Schindler's List, which is a classic performance. And then you're right. He's doing all the movies about getting his daughter back. And now on to this. I was thinking Star Wars. Oh, yeah, he was in Star Wars. I was thinking about this. Leslie Nielsen, who played that character. That's his name, right? Leslie Nielsen?
Yes.
He played that character before. He was also a very serious actor before he did Naked Gun. So it's
an
interesting,
no idea.
Yeah, it's interesting choice. Right, like when he was new to us, right? Like when that movie came out, it's like, oh, who's this hilarious white-haired 60-year-old or whatever? And then you look it up, it's like, oh, he's actually a very serious actor.
It's like how when I was growing up, I thought Bob Uecker was from Mr. Belvedere, and Tommy Lasorda was the guy who did Slim Fast commercials. It took me a long time because I did not come from a baseball family to find out information on those two.
Which shocks me, considering your baseball prowess.
Sometimes you don't have to be exactly like your parents. Isn't that interesting?
That's very much true is what I can tell you on that. Now I want to know when the next Police Academy is coming out.
Okay, let me ask you
same ilk.
All right, ready for this, Marshall?
Here's you
my
got
question
something?
To you. I got a question for you. You ready for this?
Okay.
Do you like the Police Academies better or the Naked Guns better?
I think I'm going to have to go with... I haven't seen either in a long time, but I think I'm going to go with the... Police Academy.
It's really hard. It really
I think
is.
I'm going to go with the Police Academy.
I think the Police Academies were excellent, and I think they paved the way, but I think the Naked Gun is sort of the mother load. It's the pop culture. Like Police Academy, it was definitely pop culture and all that. It wasn't like some hidden gem or anything like that, but it like Naked Gun did it all.
So Naked Gun or Airplane?
Oh, that's another great one. Ooh, Naked
I'm
Gun
voting.
Or Airplane. Well, you just upped the ante, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, that's what I do.
You upped the ante.
I'm an anti-upper.
Oh, man.
Not an anti-depressant.
I know. Dutch Irish. My father was from Wales.
Oh. I'm still Naked Gun.
Yeah.
And that hurts me to like do anything to disparage Airplane or Police Academy. Are you with me on that or no?
Okay, so Naked Gun or Coming to America?
Naked Gun.
Coming to America.
And Eddie Murphy's like my favorite person, actor, comedian of all
time.
Naked
Gun or Trading Places?
Naked Gun are trading places. Woo, we are really getting into it. Yeah, Naked Gun. Naked
okay,
Gun.
Okay, so Naked Gun's like your... Is there anything better comedic-wise for you pre-2000?
We talked about this. Layla brought up the movie Dumb and Dumber. So if you want to talk about comedy...
I did not like Dumb and Dumber. I'm going to be that guy. With the bad take.
Okay.
Do I get to answer these questions or no?
Oh, no. Yeah, you can. I was just trying to put
Sorry, we were just having a little convo here.
I didn't want to interrupt.
No, so it's all good. Sorry.
He was gung-ho on it. I was like, where can I draw the line?
Naked Gun over Police Academy, but Coming to America over Naked Gun.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What pushes for you? What pushes Coming to America? Can you identify that or no?
There were more subtle jokes that weren't necessarily as in your face as Naked Gun, which was all one note.
Okay. And I love Arsenio Hall, too. I miss Arsenio Hall.
Different levels. You're right. There's different levels.
Like, there's visual comedy that was not as... It wasn't as funny at times, but it was like it was nuanced a little more, in my opinion.
What are we missing? There's in terms of slapstick movies.
Yeah, Dumb and Dumber's up there for me.
What was the one with Hot Shots? That's it. Hot Shots.
Hot Shots was funny.
Funny, but not in the category of Police Academy.
Wasn't it a parody of Top Gun? Wasn't that the idea?
Was that what it was?
Is that with Charlie Sheen?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I thought Hot Shots was just a parody of Top Gun.
I think my favorite line from Hot Shots Part 2, I'm going to kill you until you die from it.
Yeah, oh, my gosh. My brother and I used to say that to each other all the time.
My brother and I said that to each other as well.
Marshall, you do have at least one person who is company with you. 312. Marshall, I don't like Dumb and Dumber either. Or, while he's at it, any Adam Sandler movie
That's crazy talk.
This is going to surprise you guys. I don't really care for Adam Sandler.
Happy Gilmore 2 is coming out soon.
I loved Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison.
I don't like any of them. I mean, I shouldn't say that. I don't quote them the way everybody else does. Like, I don't get those. Like, it doesn't resonate with me.
The Price is Wrong.
Yeah, see, I get that.
Austin Powers also in there for me. Like, the first couple Austin Powers were really funny.
That's a good call.
I just fast forward to the Dr. Evil parts, actually, in those movies. Is it
an evil petting zoo? Are they ill-tempered jerks? All right. On that note, Herb Howard has to come in after our silliness. Let's ask Herb Howard about not just the Bears, but that Tyler Hero play where there's nobody in front of him and he just pulls up for the three.
I'm just going to let you guys talk to Herb.
He might as well have yelled Kobe after he shot it.
Kobe!
So, hot takes with Herb Howard next on The Score.